We got breaking news. The House passes a massive election bill ahead of the midterms.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. We have got a packed hour today, but I'm here by myself in the studio today. So I'm going to ask for your help. If you want to call in, this is a great time to do it at 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard today. We join a little bit later by one of our attorneys as we have a major win out of Chicago regarding the street preachers. I don't want to spoil it. But again, I think you're going to be excited about this as things move forward. We are covering some of the breaking news items happening today, as well as what's going on in Minnesota, where you have Tom Homan saying, hey, we have decided to conclude in Minnesota our Metro Surge, Operation Metro Surge. We'll get into that towards the end of the broadcast of what's going on there. And the big story this morning is the SAVE Act. That's right, the act, the moment here. The House narrowly passed the Save America Act, which is, again, a GOP-backed bill that would tighten up voter registration identification requirements. We've talked about this over the last few days as the idea of voter ID becomes more prevalent, some kind of standardized voter identification program. Of course, this is one of those issues that comes up, it feels like, time and time again, and no one... And look, I'm happy for you to call me and tell me why. No one has ever been able to give me a convincing reason why we should not have some sort of standardized identification program in terms of voting. Why you should not be required to show some kind of ID. What this would do to be able to register to vote, you would need a government-issued ID and one other form of verification. So that could be a driver's license, birth certificate, passport, something like that to register. And then after that, a photo ID would suffice. I've never voted, except for when I had to vote absentee, I guess, when I was in college. I've never voted without the use of some form of identification. Here in Tennessee, I think it's probably the standard. But here we are, and this conversation, which feels like it should not even exist, still does. And the reason why it continues to happen, and look, this passed still very narrowly, and it passed through the House. We'll now move to the Senate. And though the Republicans hold a majority, we know that this would have to break the filibuster. And there have been some concern with some conservatives. And then there have been some liberals. We know people like John Fetterman who have said, you know what, maybe it's time. But you know who also says it's time? The American people, by a major way. And a major percentage of them believe there should be some sort of identification. And when you break it down, a lot of people say, well, this is to make sure that, you know, people who are here illegally still have some chance at voting. That's what a lot of people say. Or they say that it is, or the Democrats may say, hey, this is racism. Look, I know a lot of you listen to the show, watch us on YouTube or Rumble or Sam News Channel. Maybe you've personally said, Logan always comes off like he's too big-hearted sometimes and comes off like he is a little soft on some of these issues. I actually have a pretty big issue with using race as a reason why certain things cannot happen, like being able to show an ID. I think when we start to trivialize people, when we start to break it down and make it seem, it's actually inherently racist to say the other way, to say that people of a certain background or of a certain color skin, oh, they're not going to be able to figure out this complicated system. They're not going to be able to make it down to a DMV. They're going to be able to get their identification. It's itself disturbing. But that always seems to be the case. It always seems to be that they use some form of statement that you, as someone who is not racist, probably watching this go, well, that inherently seems racist. Their logic seems racist. But here we are. I want to hear from you. What do you think about this? You think it has a chance of passing the Senate? 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. Just me today. So join me. Give me a call. Love to hear from you. I want you to also support the work of the ACLJ. When you hear a little bit later about one of our major victories, hopefully it gets you jazzed up and ready to give at ACLJ.org. Yellow. Phone lines are jammed, and I appreciate it. All of you who decided you're going to call in today to help me out as I am here flying solo for the next hour. We do have one of our ACLJ attorneys, Liam, joining us in the next segment from Washington, D.C., but here in our media center, it's just me today, me and you. And we're talking about, at first, the SAVE Act. Now, look, a lot of you are also covering and wanting to know any information on the Nancy Guthrie situation. I know that, look, we are not your number one source for that. However, if anything breaks, we do have it monitoring. I'll make sure to let you know. We're not doing wall-to-wall coverage of it. I've always said I feel like you guys have, one, we have a duty to you to provide not only news, but how the ACLJ is involved in a lot of these things. But also, I believe you can take in more than one topic at a time. I don't know if the mainstream media always believes that, because it always feels like they just jump. They'll jump from Iran, they'll jump to now Nancy Guthrie, before that, they'll go, you know, Minnesota. It's never, let's cover this holistically. It's always, let's give people one thing and a helicopter camera for 24 hours a day, and that's just not how we roll here. But of course, what we're talking about right now is the SAVE Act, which would require voter ID. It had passed the House, now it moves to the Senate. Will it pass the Senate? I think that is up for debate. It's certainly not a guarantee. It would, though the Republicans have the majority, of course, there is the will they break the filibuster moment here. Will that be something they decide to do? We would just have to see as time moves on. However, there have been some Democrats who have showed that they actually may be in favor of this. You know why, though, they feel that way? Well, some are rational. Others maybe are actually looking at the numbers and are looking at the polls and are looking at what the American people have to say. I'm going to take us back just a couple days. Little flashback bite. Let's just hear this. This is on CNN, okay? This is on CNN telling you the details of how the American people feel about voter ID and whether they are on the side of it or not, because the Democrats would like you to believe that most people find this to be egregious and racist. But let's hear what CNN has to say.
All this polling on the screen going back since 2018, you'll notice on all of it, it's all north of 75%, 76%, 76%, 76%, 81%, and then 83% in the last year of Americans agree with Nicki Minaj. They favor photo ID to be able to vote.
What about by party? What's the party breakdown?
Yeah, normally you might expect, hey, there'd be a big divide by party with Republicans really for it and Democrats really against it, but not really here. I mean, just take a look here. Favor photo ID to vote. You got 95% of Republicans, pretty much all of them, but even 71% of Democrats favor photo ID to vote. So again, Nicki Minaj posting that on X, and what you see is that the American people, actually, it's not really all that controversial. The American people are with Nicki Minaj, whether they are Republican or even if they are Democrats. We're talking about 7 in 10 Democrats agreeing with Nicki Minaj that you, in fact, should show a voter photo ID to vote.
Nicki Minaj has never been said more on this show than in the last 30 seconds, I think, ever. You know, obviously, she's become a voice in the conservative world, which is wild, something I don't think anyone would have expected a number of years ago. But the fact that I think we just said Nicki Minaj 15 times, I believe, in the last 30 seconds, what a world we live in, folks. However, he's not wrong. This has become commonplace. Most people, 70%+, okay? If you won any election by 70% in 2026, it would be considered the biggest landslide in our lifetime, as we are so split. We are so divided by party, unfortunately. And people were asked, including Senator John Fetterman, was asked on Fox Business specifically about this. And his response, nuanced, you know, thinking about it, but also clearly looking at where people stand on this and where people stand specifically even within his own district and within his own party. So let's now take a listen. This is from Fox Business.
What I don't understand, Senator, is why it is so difficult to get the SAVE Act into the portfolio and onto the floor. What's wrong with having an ID to vote? Chuck Schumer last week said if the SAVE Act even attempts to get to the Senate, it is dead on arrival. Why?
And now me, as a Democrat, I do not believe that it's unreasonable or to show ID just to vote. And I remind everybody that less than a year ago in Wisconsin, you know, they added that to the Constitution by a 63%, you know, passing to put that in the Constitution that you have to show ID to vote. And they also elected a very, very liberal justice into their Supreme Court. So it's not a radical idea for regular Americans to show your ID to vote.
Yeah, not a radical idea for regular Americans to show your ID to vote. I can tell you that that is, seems to be 100%, or it's certainly not a radical idea, even if you disagree with it. And a lot of you are calling in about this. Some I agree with, some I won't. But you know what? Let's go ahead and take them. And it's okay if I don't. It don't, again, the calls are not representative of all of the views of Logan Seculo or the ACLJ, but let's let people talk, hear what they have to say, because I want to hear from you, and I want to encourage more people to call in. Jim's calling. Line one. Jim, go ahead.
Yes, sir. My comment is I'm 100% in favor of the picture voter ID, but it doesn't go far enough. There needs to be an IQ or a competency test for people that find out if they understand the history of our country, they understand the laws, they understand common sense. Then if they pass that, then do an allegiance pledge. If they pledge allegiance to our country, many people are here are treasonous. They're in favor of backing other countries more so than ours, politicians included.
Jim.
Then after you do the allegiance, then do a citizenship test, make sure they are actually an American citizen, then give them a picture of voter ID. Then they're ready to vote.
Okay, Jim. I understand your concern. Maybe two out of three of those is not a bad idea. I don't think I would be getting into the mandatory IQ or civics test. I don't think that that's really how our voting rules should be. I don't believe that's how Constitution works. Look, there's some people also who are just bad test takers. Maybe I'm one of them. So you know what? I may not be able to vote under your rules because, you know, I'm not the greatest of test takers in the world. But I understand, Jim, what you're saying, what you feel like that, you know, voting should maybe be a little stricter. I don't think that the access to voting should be stricter. I believe just simply making sure you are who you say you are and that you're voting in the proper district, that's enough for me. That's enough. I don't think we need to go as far as saying, oh, we got to make sure we have prop, because then it gets so convoluted. And then, of course, Jim, what you said, if you're pledging allegiance to this country, flip it in a couple of years when you have a Democrat president, and all of a sudden you got a very different rules and regulations. I'm not putting any rules and regulations like that ever I would feel comfortable with on the books. However, if it's just simply to show an ID, that's 70% of Democrats, 95% of Republicans. Again, if that was the truth and that was something that got passed through a voted electoral election, you would have one of the bigger landslides in American modern political history, if that was something that was voted on. But they're going to spin it, and they're going to spin it as somehow it's racist to do this. And again, I've actually said it's racist to have the other way around. And that is always, it feels like, how the Democrats go. It's how a certain percentage of people, a certain color of skin, a certain bloodline has to vote, or else they should be ostracized from their families or whatever it may be. And we've seen big pushback to that. We saw a huge pushback to that in South Florida, where the Latin community there was said, no, I'm not voting just because you tell me how I'm supposed to vote. And we've got a lot of more calls coming in. Let's quickly take one. Let's go to Deborah real quick in North Carolina. Deborah, go ahead.
Hey guys, thanks so much for what you do. As an African-American that grew up in the South in the 60s, I was glad to hear the comments that you made about requiring photo ID is racist. That is so insulting to me as an African American. It's insinuating that we're stupid.
Yes.
We can do anything else we want to do. We can get driver's license, ID, cell phones. But according to our Democrats, we don't have sense enough to get ID. Democrats have very, very seldom done anything but undermine the prosperity and well-being of the African-American community, and they've used us for years, and I think that we're finally waking up.
Deborah, I love that comment. And look, you grew up in the South in the 60s. You understand the issues that came on. My family grew up in the South in the 60s. the stories I've been told. I understand, though I was not there, and I grew up in the South in the 80s and 90s. Still, racism certainly existed, but we lived in very diverse communities. I understand that there are certain situations where we do need to push back hard against things. And one of those things is when you're told a certain community, based on the color of their skin, is not smart enough, does not have the ability to do a simple task in 2026. And it's deeply insulting. Deborah, I appreciate you calling in. We do have a couple phone lines open for you at 1-800-684-3110. Going to pivot a little bit in the next segment. We're going to talk to one of our ACLJ attorneys, Liam, who's got a big update. One of our street preacher cases in Chicago. We're going to continue, though, to take calls on this subject, as well as we're going to bounce around, maybe do a little bit of what's going on in Minnesota as well. As Tom Homan says, Operation Metro Surge is concluding. We'll talk about that coming up as well. 1-800-684-3110. Be right back. Welcome back to Seculo. Phone lines are completely jammed. We'll open some up later in this segment and also later in the broadcast, so don't worry, you'll have time to give us a call. We're talking about the SAVE Act, but I did want to pivot a bit to the work of the ACLJ. Always important to know what is going on, and this is a victory. This is a good moment. We are joined by one of our ACLJ attorneys, Liam. I think you need to give us, though, a bit of a background on what this case is, and then, of course, what just happened.
Absolutely. You know, last year, I think a lot of our viewers will remember it. Last year, we had a group of young street preachers, evangelists, who hung out in the city of Chicago, and they were harassed. They were eventually arrested by Chicago police in what can only be described as an unconstitutional assault on the First Amendment. The ACLJ stepped in, and we represented them, one, in their criminal case. We got those charges dismissed. But then also, we're suing the city of Chicago. We said that this has to stop. And, you know, the First Amendment means that these kids have a right to preach on the street. And we got some major developments this week.
All right. So then let's break it down. Because I know a lot of people have been following this. If you're supporters of the ACLJ, you may have gotten emails about it. You may have gotten blogs about this. You may have read about it. You may have heard about it here on this show. When you hear about these street preacher cases, specifically in places like Chicago, you know, when you visit one of these major cities, you're likely going to encounter a lot of different views, a lot of different people with a lot of different points of view, often with small amplifiers. It's just, honestly, it's sort of the charm and the nature of a big city. But the ACLJ had to get involved directly, and right now, today, is a significant victory for us.
Yeah, that's right. You know, the big city is full of sights and sounds, and yet what we saw was a really disturbing pattern. There's only one that Chicago police were targeting, and that was the Christian voices, the voices of the good news, trying to build, fulfill the Great Commission. And so the first thing the city of Chicago did was they didn't respond to our lawsuit in any meaningful way. They filed a motion to dismiss. They said that it was a meritless lawsuit and that the judge should throw it out. We have been fighting this case for months now. We had been waiting to hear what the judge said, and it was a major victory. The judge ruled against their motion, held that all of our most important claims, free speech, freedom of religion, retaliatory arrest, unlawful arrest, that all those claims can proceed. And we're going to start the grueling process of litigation, but that means discovery. We'll see what that means, and we can really start to look at the city of Chicago, see what was going on behind the scenes, what was motivating these arrests. And, you know, I think I speak for everyone on the ACLJ team working on this case. We are absolutely just champing at the bit to get into Chicago and start to vindicate these young men's rights.
I think when you hear that, when you see these moments and you see that, of course, a court's going to say, yeah, they have their First Amendment right. It does give you a little bit of hope that these cases can be won because, of course, they have their First Amendment right to do this. That's why the ACLJ team is there. It's why you've been there for the last 36 plus years handling cases like this. You may hear about the big ones. You know, when you hear about the ACLJ representing countries, representing presidents, representing on the world stage at the UN. But it is very important, just as important, for people like you and for the other ACLJ attorneys, to go into a city like Chicago, represent a handful of people, because we know the impact doesn't just end up on them. And of course that happens at no cost to the client because of people who support this organization, the ACLJ, which of course is our media side and our legal side. So if you like this show and you like our legal work, it doubles, you know, everything. It really helps out all of it when you support the work of the ACLJ. But there is some glimmer of hope when your team is able to get in there and cause these victories. I am so happy when people call in and support this show and support what we're doing here, not just financially, but even just because, even with just your prayers, because this, these are still happening. I think a lot of people may think that these cases should have been long gone 30 years ago, Liam, but we're still dealing with them on what feels like a daily or weekly basis.
You know, that's right. So listen, I'm here in our Washington, D.C. office, and earlier this week, I've been going back and forth with a lot of people on the Hill for some important filings we'll be doing later this week. But in between all of that, I get this email in my inbox, and I check it, and it's from the Chicago court, and your face just lights up, because as important as what we do here on the Hill is, as important as some of our big clients are, I know these three young men. I've spent time with each one of them, and it was such a privilege to be able to pick up the phone, call them, and let them know the good news, which was that their claims against the city of Chicago are being taken seriously. And yeah, I think you're absolutely right. In hindsight, sure, it was obvious that these were meritorious claims. It was obvious we would get our day in court. But until the ink is dry and you know that the judge has ruled on it, you never know. And so I want to personally thank, because these are young men who are driven by the gospel. They couldn't afford attorneys like us, if we're just being frank.
Sure.
But they have a world-class legal team behind them. And so to everyone who makes that possible, that's a personal thanks from me. And I know our clients sincerely appreciate it.
Absolutely. Look, I think when you hear these stories coming out of our DC office or our lawyers that are around the country, understand that all of it happens because of you. This may sound like some sort of pitch here. These are real news stories that are happening in our organization. We'll tell you about what's happening in the news. We'll give you our commentary. I always will provide those updates as needed here on this show. But we always want to make sure we pivot, talk to people in our ACLJ team, whether it's CeCe, whether it's Liam, whoever it may be, Nathan, our whole team here at the ACLJ. And of course, Jordan, who is in and out all over Washington, D.C. and around the world. It feels like representing so many people. All of that happens. 100% of it happens because of you. If you are watching right now and you saw like a YouTube ad, understand that, yes, do we get a little bit? I mean, such a small amount of YouTube funding. It doesn't even pay for a salary of one of our team members. If you hear a radio ad in your local market, if you're listening on radio, so you hear an ad for any sort of product, that goes to the network. That doesn't go to us. Often we're paying to be on your network. So I can say this to you. So I can say this moment and say, I need you to support the work of the ACLJ right now. I need you to become an ACLJ champion. That is someone that gives on a monthly recurring basis. It's easy. You can sign up at any level. We don't say, you know, you're only a champion if you give $200 a month. No, you give $5 a month. I think is our minimum just due to processing fees. You can do that. Give monthly. Become an ACLJ champion today. We have about 20,000 ACLJ champions. That is a very small amount, honestly, compared to those that give one time a year. You know, tens of thousands of people do that. But only 20,000 give on that monthly basis. I'd love to see that number grow. And of course, you can cancel anytime and you can be a part of the ACLJ team. It is, as we head into break and head into the second half hour, we only take a 1 minute break. But in that 1 minute break, I'm going to encourage you to make a move if you can to support the work of the ACLJ. You heard from Liam, you heard from our team in Washington, D.C. You know what they're doing. You, of course, look, a lot of you have called in. There's only one line open right now, 1-800-684-3110. We're going to take a lot of calls coming up, and we're going to continue this conversation because I think, obviously, it has struck a chord for a lot of you. And again, I'm flying solo today here in the studio, so I could use your support as well. Not just, obviously, if you want to make a donation, fantastic. But obviously, if you want to call in, let's keep this conversation going. That's at 1-800-684-3110. It's always encouraging to hear from members of our ACLJ team and put things into perspective, because there are people, individuals out there that need us. And I love when we have such a positive update like we did today. So be a part of it. Celebrate with our team by supporting the work of the ACLJ. We'll be right back. Second half hour coming up in less than a minute. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Keeping you informed and engaged now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to the second half hour of Seculo for today. Thanks for joining me. We had a packed front half hour. I'm here flying solo here at the media center here of the ACLJ. Of course, I got my incredible team who are behind the glass here. But in this big studio, it's just me and you right now. Phone lines are mostly full. We got one line open at 1-800-684-3110. The big story of the day is the SAVE Act has passed the House. What that is the requirement to, when you register to vote, you have to show some form of identification as well as some sort of proof of citizenship, passport, a birth certificate. Something like that. And then after that, you got to show photo ID. Passes the House, moves to the Senate. A lot of you are curious whether it's going to get through the Senate. I think that's still up for debate. There are some Democrats, though, that are willing to budge on this. As we saw, 70%+ of even Democrats believe that this is an important topic and that there should be photo ID requirements. I think it's pretty common sense. So far, no one's been able to call and convince me otherwise. But let's go ahead. I want you to hear from this. This is from Steve Scalise. I think he gives you a good sort of overall briefing on this situation. Take a listen.
Try going into a bar without showing a picture ID. Try getting into the Democrat National Convention without showing an ID. They required it. The same Democrats that are saying things like Jim Crow said you have to have an ID to get into their own convention because they know it's common sense. If you want to have a secure operation in anything, and elections are the most important franchise we have in America to protect democracy. And so, yes, we had a really important vote. Great to see one Democrat. Really perplexing why every other Democrat wanted to support voter fraud. That's really what you're supporting if you voted no tonight. You're saying you're okay with voter fraud. And that's a disgrace. Look at states that have done this. Georgia, they said all those same things, by the way, in the state of Georgia, that passed a voter ID requirement. And what happened in the next election after? You had actually higher voter participation.
That is from Steve Scalise. And look, in these moments, we have no lines open right now. I know this one is connecting with you. You know why it's connecting with you? Because even CNN says, you know what? The mass majority of people believe that this is, I think we're the only country that doesn't require it. I would love to be convinced otherwise. You know, I get slammed sometimes in the comments because people think, oh, I'm a little too big-hearted. Maybe Logan is a little soft. I get caught people saying he's a liberal. I get that comment a lot. You know, because when we have conversations that maybe go a little bit broader, or maybe go into human rights or freedom of speech, I'm a free speech advocate. I think some of the situations that are going on in, like we saw, Tom Homan decided to, he announced the end of Operation Metro Surge, concluding in Minnesota. I think that's a good thing. I think it's a good thing also because I think you can also take the temperature of the American people. I think that's always important. But no one has been able to convince me that there is not a good reason why we shouldn't have to show some form of identification to vote, other than having people vote illegally. And a certain party that seems to want to push that and then tell you by saying that you want it, that you are somehow racist. We just heard from that caller, grew up in the South in the 60s, African-American caller, who said how belittling it feels when these type of topics come up. When you are told that your certain group of people, whether you are a person of color, you're in the black community, whether you're in the Latin community, whatever it may be, or the Jewish community for that matter, that you're expected to vote a certain way. And if you don't, you should be ostracized. And therefore, we're going to figure out not only how to make it easier, we're going to figure out how to create more fraud within voting. No one's been able to convince me otherwise that it's not inherently racist to do this. When we get back, I'm going to hear from you. We have a full bank of calls. I'm going to try to get through some just to open up the conversation. You also heard about our big success out of Chicago, and if you didn't hear that, I want you to back up the show when this is over. Go listen to our ACLJ attorney, Liam, our incredible team of attorneys supporting street preachers who are winning in court, of course, because they have their freedom of speech. But doesn't mean there aren't people trying to shut them down. That is why the ACLJ team is here for you. I want you to go ahead. Look, if you're watching online, you're brand new, you've never seen me before, good free way to help. Hit the subscribe button. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Secula. We have people been on hold for well over 30 minutes, and I don't usually like to do that. But there are people calling who are listening on terrestrial radio, SiriusXM, the ACLJ app, through YouTube. There's so many ways you can get this broadcast, and that's why I love what we do here. We want to make sure we can reach as many people as we can, and we do that with all these different options, and all of them are free. I mean, obviously, you may pay for SiriusXM, but that's not, you know, that's not us getting that sort of subscription fee. But we're available on all these different sources. And you can always find us, whether that's on demand or live from 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern time. However, get your podcasts, we're there. Let's go ahead and take the calls. I'm going to do a lot of these in order, and then we'll continue the conversation as well. We'll also talk a little bit about what's going on in Minnesota as Tom Homan announced Operation Metro Surge has concluded. May move to that in the next segment. We'll see where we get. Let's go to Wendy in California first. Wendy, thanks for watching. Appreciate you holding.
Thank you. I have a question about if the bill goes into law, will they do a complete flush of the voter rolls, or do they feel that just saying you have to show an ID is sufficient?
Look, I think those are kind of two separate issues. I don't think you will see restart of the voter rolls. I don't think we will necessarily have to, everyone will have to re-register. I have to look into the details, to be honest, to see what that would be. It may depend on state by state. A lot of these elections are handled, they're not federally handled. You know, they're handled based on the rules of your area. So it would then probably move to your state making those decisions on how they treat their voter rolls. We know voter rolls need to be cleaned up. Rick Grinnell's talked about that so many times, endless amounts of times. How that happens, how it actually ends up, you know, going into action, is going to be determined based on probably your state and what they decide to do and how they do it. You have a state like California, like you're in, that Rick says we need to make sure we clean up. That is a much bigger voter roll than a certain state, you know, maybe in Wyoming, that needs maybe a different way to get things done. Wendy, I appreciate the question. And maybe it's something we can get answered more specifically. Maybe it's something we can push on to see what that would look like. How would you clean up the voter rolls? And that's a question for you. If I have to say all of you have to go re-register to vote, does that change your mind? Because look, I'll be honest. Even the process of getting that gold star, whatever you want to call it, ID, it's a pain for a lot of people. So let's continue on the conversation. Let's go to Dale, who is calling in Washington. Dale's watching on YouTube. Go ahead.
All right. In Washington State, they only have all-by-mail voting.
Right.
And they don't even have any poll workers to go and run out for doing stuff. And when we get our state ID or driver's license, that's in the enhanced version, they check your ID then, and then they go and update your voter stuff at that point. So they do check the stuff automatically. But as far as that, having to go and show your ID, in Washington State, I can only show my ID to the cat when I'm filling in the ballot.
Yeah, I think, Dale, that's a state-by-state issue. I think the idea of mail-in voting, depending on where you are located, I understand some of the need for it. I'm not someone here pushing, saying, you don't need it. I'm actually saying I think there are time and place. Specifically in certain states. Look, the fact that you would even have that protocol where you wouldn't have to re-register when you had to get the gold star, get your new ID, your real ID, that may be enough. That's more than what's happening right now in a lot of places. But Washington State seemingly will have to respond to this act if it was to pass the Senate. And again, that's a big question, whether even it has a chance. I think the idea of having a chance sure is there. Do I think it's likely? I wouldn't be putting money on it. There are some Democrats like John Fetterman who said that they would support something like this because the majority of Americans do. But as as Steve Scalise said earlier on, he said it feels like those who voted against it are just voting for voter fraud. Let's actually go back and listen to that one again. I like that one. I think it was Byte 16. Oh, Steve Scalise.
Try going into a bar without showing a picture ID. Try getting into the Democrat National Convention without showing an ID. They required it. The same Democrats that are saying things like Jim Crow said you have to have an ID to get into their own convention because they know it's common sense. If you want to have a secure operation in anything, and elections are the most important franchise we have in America to protect democracy. And so, yes, we had a really important vote. Great to see one Democrat. Really perplexing why every other Democrat wanted to support voter fraud. That's really what you're supporting if you voted no tonight. You're saying you're okay with voter fraud. And that's a disgrace. Look at states that have done this. Georgia, they said all those same things, by the way, in the state of Georgia that passed a voter ID requirement. And what happened in the next election after? You had actually higher voter participation.
Actually higher voter participation in the next time when you actually did require some ID. Now, how that works psychologically, I'm not so sure, but that's a pretty interesting stat from Steve Scalise. Let's go ahead and take some more calls. And by the way, we've opened up a bunch of lines. So this is a great time to call. 1-800-684-3110. Because I want to hear if you have a different point of view. Maybe, think about this. He brought up. I posed that question earlier this week, which was, how many times a week are you asked for your ID? Subconsciously, you don't even think about it. It's so commonplace in our society, pick up medicine, to do anything, really, often, like you said, go to a bar, whatever it may be, go to an event, pick up your tickets, do whatever it may be. You're showing ID a lot more than you're even thinking about it. It's not always this stressful moment. And more than likely, it's just commonplace. You just don't even consider it. It's just in the back of your head. It's something we do as Americans, is show a proof of who we are. And I need to update my ID because, I'll be honest, I don't have a beard. And I get a lot of questions in my ID. A lot of people are like, you look like you're 22 years old. Maybe I either need a shave or you can call in about that at 1-800-684-3110. Let's take one more call in this segment, and then we will take the rest in the next one. Let's go to Linda, who's calling in Texas, watching on the ACLJ app. Another great thing we don't talk about that much is we have a great interactive app that's available in the App Store. So, Linda, thanks for watching.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yep, go ahead.
Okay, yeah. This is really my point. But I remember back in 2020 when President Obama was on CBS and he told the reporters that President Trump delegitimizes democracy by investigating for voter fraud. When in 2008, we knew that the FBI was investigating Acorn for voter fraud. And I think Obama was aware of the FBI investigation. I know he was cleared. And I think they found some discrepancies, voter fraud, with this group. But come forward, and we go to the SAVE Act now, and for me, it looks like a political ploy yet again, because President Obama on CBS therefore set up the political optics narrative to I think, throw President Trump under the bus. And then they're so digging their heels into not having voter ID. And why? We have to question, why do they not want us to verify and check? And I think it's political. Even if the Democrats are 70% supporting ID, I think it's political. And for some reason, we probably know the reason.
Yeah, it's vote
but
farming.
That's not my point. It's not my point. My point is now we were told, we're going to fly pretty soon here. And my sister's checking with me and she says, do you have that star on your DMV license, or do you have the universal ID? And I said, real ID. Oh, let me check. And so we just had our DMV license reading. Yes, I have the star. And she says, good, because TSA is going to check you on that. And I'm looking at the Senate digging their heels on not having SAVE Act, getting political, calling it racist, which it isn't, because you think about it, rules for thee, but not for me. And they need to have probably the real ID themselves, don't they? Wherever they go, when they're flying. Why is it that we're mandated and then they're up against it?
Linda, you bring up all the questions that everyone asks, which is why is this even up for debate? Why is this even a question? And if the answer isn't fraud, what's the answer? And no one can give me a proper answer other than it is to have people vote who should not be voting. I'd love to hear another side of the argument that makes any sense to me. But that's one of the issues. And I like to listen to all sides. But it's one of those pure moments where I go, no one has ever given me a real reason that makes any sense of why not showing an ID is better for the American people. It is better for our free and fair elections. No one. The answers are always vapid or finger point. They lack any sort of sustenance. Next segment, we're going to continue taking calls, 1-800-684-3110, and maybe we'll move on to the other topic, but I don't know. A lot of you are calling in, and I think we may need to stick with this for a little while. We'll see where it goes. I want you to support the work of the ACLJ if you can, aclj.org. We'll be back in just a moment taking your calls and comments from around the world. Welcome back to Seculo. Phone lines are jammed. I appreciate it. I first want to start by saying thank you for carrying me through this last hour. It's been fun to chat with all of you from around the world. But there are so many of you who are called in. Let's go ahead and take some of you. Let's go with Paul, who's calling line one, listening on Sirius XM. Been on hold for over half an hour. I appreciate it. Go ahead. Paul, you there? Put Paul on hold. See if we can get back to him. I feel bad for him if he's been on hold for 30 minutes and maybe he just disconnected there for a second. I'm going to pop over. Let's go to Ken in Oklahoma. Ken, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. My question for you is if this SAVE Act passes and all the Democrat states go, okay, IDs for everyone, what have we actually won? I agree with your first caller, Jim. Not quite to his extent, but I think if this passes, we need to go ahead and do it with voter ID plus birth certificate or voter ID plus citizenship.
Yeah, I mean, Ken, there is a citizenship. I need to make sure we clarify that. There is a citizenship requirement when you are to register if the SAFE Act was to go through. So I want to clarify that if that wasn't something I brought to your attention. You will have to provide when you are registering to vote. Now, I think depending on how they do re-registration or whatever that may be, kind of like your real ID situation, it's probably going to be state by state, but we'll see what that looks like. But if you are brand new and you're registering to vote, you'll be asked for not just one form of identification. You'll be asked for a birth certificate or a passport, something like that that can verify you are who you say you are and that you are an American citizen. So there will be that. Then after that, I believe the case would be, then you would be required to show a photo ID. I'm not sure if you'd then be required to show multiple IDs. I think some of that is just purely time and all of, and you know, that whole situation, but you will have to do it. So look, sometimes in politics, especially in Washington, D.C., any steps, even baby steps is a good step. And a good step forward. Thanks, Ken, for calling. Let's go to George, who is an ACLJ champion. George, go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. I'll make this quick. I really appreciate what you all do. First, I wonder, is there some way we can, I won't say pressure, but encourage Senator Thune to make sure that this is brought to the floor, either through a standing filibuster or some mechanism, so it doesn't just die and people can hide behind that. And my second point is something totally separate. The drawdown in Minnesota, would that be somewhat rewarding the people who were protesting or people who, not protesting, but when who were interfering with ICE?
George, answer both your questions real quick. If you want to encourage Senator Thune or whoever it may be, we always encourage you. Respectfully, reach out to your representative. Call them. They have an office line. They have people there that are ready to take your calls typically because of these kind of situations. They want to hear from you. Now, never be rude. Never come off as mean or say anything offensive. We ask you to respectfully, yeah, you can find their numbers, I'm sure, online, how to reach out or how to email. You can probably post on social media to them. I think there's nothing wrong with saying, you represent my district, my, or you know, where I live, and this is how I would love to see this go. And of course, you know, you can send however you want to support them, pray for them, do what you want to do. In terms of the situation with Tom Homan, like, it's going to be, to me, break this all down. Maybe we'll do it tomorrow because that is a lot. Is it a win? I think you had somebody come in who maybe knew a little bit more about how all of this should be running and saw that maybe it was overkill. So sure, you may say it's a victory for those that were protesting, but you also have the members of the Trump administration coming in and saying maybe things were not handled correctly. So whether you like it from a, let's say, quote unquote, political standpoint, a political win for one way or the other, I like that at least you have proper representation there that is willing to look at actually how it's happening. And they don't want to see death on the streets. Whether you believe that those people, you know, who, whether they hit them with a car, whether they didn't hit them with a car, whatever it may be, we don't want to see blood on the streets. We don't want to see American people or anybody dead on the streets. And I think Tom Homan knew that going in. He's someone who has been doing this for a very long time. So appreciate you, George, for calling in. Is Paul back up? Do we know? Paul's up. Paul, you're back up. SiriusXM, go ahead.
I'm on. Ready?
You're on.
Can you hear me?
You are on.
Okay. Hello, Jay. Logan.
Hey, you're on. Go ahead.
Okay. So here's my point. The photo ID has been given out to so many people that come to this country for a work visa or other reasons that we need to discriminate that when they're issuing these IDs out that you're a non-citizen, so they are not allowed to use that ID to vote with.
Yeah, Paul, I'm not sure. Certain areas think do actually mark whether you are a citizen or non-citizen. And I think if you have people working these polls who know they'll be looking for that, that is something that should be seen. Because look, I think there can be voter. I'll be honest, we have members of our team here who are legally here in this country, are legally working in this country, but are not American citizens. I'm not sure what their ID says here in the state of Tennessee. But I do know they have an ID here in Tennessee. They do have a state driver's license. They do have some of those issued requirements. But you're right. Maybe there just needs to be some sort of simple, easy to understand marking on your ID. Thank you, Paul, though, for calling. 3 minutes, two more calls. We'll see if we can get to both of you. We'll do our best. At least we'll go though. Whoever called in first. Brian, you're up.
Yeah, I don't think we should be making such a big deal out of the ID. I think everybody ought to have an ID. Only because of the logistics of law enforcement being able to identify who you are. I think that as far as the work visas and all that, I feel that it's a bigger problem that you need to be a productive member in the society before you're able to vote.
Brian, I don't know how you would determine that, being a productive member of society. I think any of those kind of requirements, and I mentioned that, Brian, is no offense to you or to the person that called in earlier and said they wanted an IQ test. I frankly don't think that's very American in the way that we've decided how we are going to have these free and fair elections, because that is so easily manipulated and corrupted. I think an age, fine. Do I think that the age is at 18, should stay at 18? I think that's a fine number to start with. That's a whole debate that can happen. But to have some sort of like you have to be have a job or you have to be paying taxes, obviously somewhat you are paying taxes, even if it's through your family or other ways. I just don't like those kind of rules and regulations. It's not for me. I think you hit a certain age, you should be able to be a voter here in our country. There are things that can disqualify you from voting. We all know those. There are many people who cannot vote for very many different reasons. That's okay. I understand why that would be. And then I also think, even for those people who had felonies and those kind of situations, should have moments where they're able to appeal that at some point and have that conversation. I think that is a fine conversation to have as well. Is when does that eventually, when are you now redeemed, if you will, in the eyes of the law? Whole different debate. And I only got 1 minute. So unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to take this last call. I'm sorry. We're not going to be able to get to you today. I was going to name you, but you didn't name yourself. With that, thank you all for watching. Thank you all for help carrying me through this hour. I love having these conversations with all of you from around the world. It's very fun to hear from all of you, for whether you watch or listen or however you interact. But all you got to know, none of this happens. This show, the legal work, all of it, none of it happens without you. So I'm going to ask you to essentially become a member of the ACLJ today. Now, anyone who donates, I consider a member. Those that give on a monthly basis, we call you ACLJ champions. People come up to me in the streets and say, Logan, I'm a champion, and you know how big of a smile that gives me. And, you know, usually you get a high five, a hug, a big firm handshake. Something like that happens. And you come up to me and say, Logan, I'm an ACLJ champ. And I'm going to ask you to support the work right now. I'm going to ask you to do that. It's an easy opt-in at aclj.org/champions. We'll talk to you tomorrow.